Okay. Before I start, I want to ask you a question. Do you want to have your mic test separately? Or do you want to combine the two?
Separate.
Since you are so undecided, I will decide for you. Okay. Combine. Okay. Now. Okay. In the name of Lord Jesus, we continue with our study on the book of 1 John. Right, now, we turn to 1 John chapter 2. Let's look at verse 15 to verse 17. In fact, this is one of the major, we say, roadblocks or hindrances in our faith. Right, and actually, we find that this can cause us not to love God. Right? Now, I want you to look at verse 15. Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Right? Now, I think the Bible is very clear about this. Yeah, if anyone loves the world, then for sure this someone cannot have the love of God in his heart. Right? Now, if you know that, you know, for example, a person, a believer, who is very fervent in the faith, you know, outwardly seem very fervent, you know, like he always comes to the church or whatever. But at the same time, we also see that this person is very much of the world. Then you know that his love for the church is not genuine. It's not true. Because the Bible says, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Yeah? Meaning, I cannot love the world at the same time love the Father. Or, I cannot love the world at the same time develop this love for the Father. It's not possible. The love of the world will take the love of the Father away from me. Okay? Now, what is even more serious, according to the explanation given by James, I want you to read James chapter 4. Sometimes you find that James is very harsh. He's 100 times harsher than I am. I'm very kind. Okay, chapter 4. Look at verse 4, yeah? Chapter 4. No, verse 4. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. You know, sometimes I wonder, how can an enemy of God, yeah, love the Father? How can an enemy of God love God? Is that possible? Not possible. Okay, now I think by putting these two verses together, John and James, yeah. Now you find that when the love for the world is there, if we always love the world, we actually develop a war between us and God. Yeah? And this war of enmity is built up in the process. Okay? Now, so surely we cannot, if we love the world, we cannot love the Father, and not only that, we become enemies of the Father, of God. Alright? Now, and James also said, those who befriend the world are called what? Adulterers and adulteresses. Spiritually speaking, they are just immoral people. Okay, if we befriend the world, then we become immoral people in the eyes of God. Because we have been betrothed to Jesus Christ, and therefore we must stay faithful in that sense. Okay, and if we develop this love for the world, then we end up being called what? Adulterers and adulteresses. So what is our position? What is our position? Not sure. Are we friends of God? You sure? How many of you think that you are a friend of God? Raise your hand. Don't lie to yourself. You sure? Half. There's no half, you know. There's no in between. So, no, I think, you know, I think it's an issue that requires urgent attention. Okay? Now, I think it's a problem. It has been an ongoing problem, you know, in the church. And I think for some of us, it has been an ongoing problem as well in our life. Right? Now, that's why, you know, we must be very determined and resolute to do something about it, to rectify this, you know, this kind of wrong that we have done against God. Okay? Now, turn back to 1 John. You know, I always think about this, yeah? If someone befriends the world so much, what can he offer to the church? Or what can she offer to the church? I don't think she can. How can an enemy of God, you know, try to build up the church of God? Is that possible? It's not possible. Right? That's why if you're truly, you know, serious about building up the church of God, then we must make sure that we are not of the world. Alright? Now, we come back. Now, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Yeah? Now, what does the world teach us, and what does the world bring about? All the things in the world practically generate what? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and stir up what? The pride of life in us. Okay? And if you look around, if you think carefully about the things that we do, right? If you analyze, you know, the life of your friends, even your own life, you find that whatever we have received from the world, yeah, brings about lust, bring about pride. Okay? Now verse 17. And the world is passing away, and the last of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Okay, now here a comparison is made between the two, right? Now, one who is in pursuit of the things of the world, obviously he shall pass away together with all the things in the world. And those who abide by the will of God, then you find that they shall abide with God, and that is eternal life shall be given to them. Right? Now, so one is very short-lived, is transient, and the other one is everlasting, is eternal. Right? But in most cases, it seems what? It seems that things which are temporal are more attractive. Is it not so? Is that not so? Now, I want to read Matthew chapter 7, yeah? Matthew chapter 7. Yeah. Now, verse 21. 7 verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Okay? Meaning those who abide by the will of God shall eventually inherit the kingdom of God. Now, on the contrary, if we only love the world, if we only think about our own gadgets all the time, then we'll end up not inheriting the kingdom of God. Simple as that. So, it's very clear. A clear distinction is drawn between the two. Yeah? And you find that there is nothing ambiguous about it. Very, very clear and precise. Again, we said this is a choice, okay? You can choose. But we bear the consequence of our choice. Right? This is what the Bible is trying to tell us. Okay. Now, when we enter into the second, the next part of chapter 2, here it talks about Antichrist. Yeah? Now, I think this is a term probably we need to understand a bit more. Antichrist. Now, obviously, we know that anti mean against, isn't it? Yeah? Now, against Christ. Those who are against Christ, broadly speaking, those who are against Christ are called what? Antichrist, right? But there is a specific context here. Now, I'm going to read the where is it? Verse 22. This is the context. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? Now, we know that Christ is God who came in the flesh, okay? He is Antichrist. So, anyone who denies that Jesus is the Christ, meaning anyone who denies the work of God in the flesh, is an what? Antichrist. Okay? Now, John said the Antichrist is coming. Now, here it said, even now, verse 18, it said, many antichrists, not just one, there are many, yeah, who have come. And those who deny the work of Jesus in the flesh, antichrist. This is the context, okay? Now, obviously, broadly speaking, we can use it on anyone who opposes the will of God, or anyone who goes against the commands of the Lord willfully or trying to fight against God, you know, whatever, Antichrist. Okay, but according to John, this is the context. Is that clear? Now, earlier on I said, yeah, because according to the Gospel of John, Jesus, the word became what? Came in the flesh, isn't it? Yeah? Is that so? Now, this idea here, the one I'm just talking about, is against this. The very concept of God's salvation. Okay? Now, you find that the word became flesh, meaning Jesus came in the flesh to save humanity, yeah, is the plan of God even before time was, before the foundation of the world. Now, you find that this idea is designed to go against it, yeah, to confuse the work of God. Okay, you see? Now, outwardly, it seems that it doesn't hurt anyone. It's only an idea. You get what I'm saying? Right? But we know that this idea is against the very principle of God, the work of redemption that God has achieved through Christ Jesus. What? Now, that's why, class, they are concepts and ideas, yeah?
I didn't step on it, luckily. Okay. Pass.
Better unplug it. Break it. Can I unplug it for you? I don't have the money to buy a new one for you. So.
Okay. Now, class, you need to understand that there are ideas floating around in the church which are against the principle of God. Yeah? I think most of you have known about them. So we have to be extremely careful not to buy into the ideas. Now, I'm saying this with a very heavy heart, okay? And once you have bought into the ideas, it becomes extremely difficult for you to come out. Okay, I'll explain why based on 1 John chapter 2. Okay? Now, we need to understand this clearly. Please understand this clearly. When people, you know, propagated this idea that Christ cannot be trapped in this wicked flesh, all right? Corruption. Right? Now you find that this is not just an idea. Okay? You find that this idea actually is driven by a force. Okay? A force of darkness. Now I want you to read chapter 4. Now please turn to chapter 4. We read verse 3. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. Yeah? And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. Now, I need to remind you again, this is not just about a worldly concept, or it's just a concept for considerations, or it's not just, you know, an idea that we can think about whether we should accept it or not. No. When you look at what John is saying here, you find that this concept, this idea, is driven by the kind of spirit called the spirit of Antichrist. Remember I told you also, you know the example given in Hosea, yeah, they tried to return to God, but they could not. Why? Hey? Yes. You know, they committed sexual immorality against God time and again. They tried to pull themselves out from that situation, and yet they found that it was impossible. According to Hosea, because their life, what? Were governed by what? The spirit of? How do you spell harlotry? Okay. Harlotry. Okay. You know when you press go, we just scribble. You get what I'm saying? Can you see this thing here? Alright? Now, you also see? This thing you cannot see. Can you see a spirit? Can you see?
You can't.
Now, I also mentioned this in Micah, remember? Micah chapter 1. The test question, you don't know. Where is it? A man.
Forget it.
Okay, turn to Micah. I want to help you pass your test. Okay, chapter 2. Now, verse 11, yeah? Micah chapter 2, verse 11. If a man should walk in a false spirit and speak a lie, saying, I will prophesy to you of wine and drink, even he should be the prattler of his people. Now, how can he walk? How can walk? How, How can one walk in a false spirit? See, I slipped my tongue. Oh, God. Okay. How can one walk in a false spirit? How? How? Tell me how. How can you walk in God's way? How do you walk in God? How do you walk in God? Eh? Simple logic. How do you walk in God? Follow His word, isn't it? Yeah, His command, okay? Now, when you read the Bible, okay, class? When you read the Bible, when you follow what the Bible says, you walk in God, yeah? Now, when the Bible says this guy here walks in a false spirit, what does it mean? He listened to false teaching. You get the idea now? Right? Now, so, meaning, if you listen to false teaching, anything that is contrary to the belief of the church, you are giving ground to Satan to work. Right? Is that clear? Is that clear? Right? I want to read 1 Timothy. You're sensitive to that, huh? Okay. I mean to the food. Okay. Okay. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Okay, 1 Timothy chapter 4. Read verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, that is our time, some will depart from the faith. This is inevitable. Okay? Giving heed to deceiving spirit and doctrines of demons. Now, I want you to understand, yeah? In the latter time, that is our time, you find that within the context of the church, within, you know, the church, there will be people, but who will leave the faith. Okay? Now, these people can be leaders of the church, like preachers, deacons, even elders. Right? They can leave the church because they do not pay attention to what? To the word of God. Okay? Now, coming back to chapter 4, verse 1, they give heed to deceiving spirit. Can you see deceiving spirit? Can you see? If you see deceiving spirit, you run for your life. It goes, ah! Is that true? Can you see your naked eyes? No. Then if you cannot see deceiving spirit, then how can you give heed to deceiving spirit? How? Hello? This class, I just explained already. Huh? Okay, two things mentioned here. Come back. Hello. You're not paying attention. I'll repeat until you can repeat after me. Okay, chapter 4, verse 1. Giving heed to deceiving spirit and doctrine of demons. Okay, two things. The deceiving spirit first, the DS or the DJ or whatever. Right? And then, what? Doctrine of DD. Doctrine of demon. DS and DD. Now, how can you give heed to DS? How? When you pay attention to DD. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah? Just like if you want to pay attention to God, if you want to what? Honor God or whatever, then you need to pay attention to His words. Yes. Same principle. You understand what I'm saying now? Okay? Now, so, class, because the Word of God, yeah? The Word of God is designed to save. Right? Now, since time immemorial, you find that Satan has been at work to distort the Word of God by confusing the recipient. Yeah? By changing the Word of God, or either by adding more words to the Word of God, or by subtracting the Word of God. Okay? This is what Satan has been doing. So, the principle here is very clear. There is something that you need to bear in mind. Okay? Now, what the church has received, especially with regards to the basic belief, you'll find that is absolute. It's not given to change. Yeah? Now, how do we know that these words or this doctrine are absolute? Because of the testimony of the Holy Spirit. Today we have received the Holy Spirit. That's why we know that the truth is absolute. Is that clear? Right? That's the first point you need to bear in mind. Now, the second point is, you need to be very what? You need to be very disciplined, put it this way. You need to be very disciplined. You know, youngsters are less disciplined at times. Right? Now, so do not be easily excited by new things, new theories, new concepts. Right? You understand what I'm saying? You can easily fall into the traps of Satan. You need to be very disciplined. Now, the third is, when a new concept is floating around the church, there's a question we need to ask. We know that the end time true church is built upon the foundation of the apostle. So you ask this question. Did the apostle talk about it? You know, had the church in the time of the apostle preach about it? You get what I'm saying? This is how you discern. I tell you, once you buy into this, you finished. It's very difficult. I want you to read 2 Timothy. We read chapter 2. Let's look at verse 25 and 26. Can I get someone to read? We start from Naomi. Chapter 2, 25, 26.
In humility, correct those who are in opposition, God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may learn the truth.
Verse 26.
And that they may come to their senses and speak the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by them.
Now, here Paul talks about those who opposed, or those who opposed the truth. Yeah? It's not just about being what? Being rebellious. Okay? Now, Paul went on to say that because these people have been taken captive by what? By Satan. Right? You get what I'm saying now? Now, you can imagine if someone is used by Satan, obviously, you find that this person will be godless. Yeah? He will do whatever he can, right, to make sure that, you know, the truth of God is confused and is removed. Right? Now, again, I said you have been warned many times already. Since we are talking about 1 John, I'm going to remind you of this warning one more time. Right? Now, we can see the seriousness of the situation is no longer a joke. So anyone, class, even me, if I come to you and said to you something different from what you received, you need to expose me. You get what I'm saying? You need to tell the church. Let the church know about it. Have I made myself clear? Okay? You cannot pretend, he is my good friend. Keep quiet. No. You share in his sin. I'm telling you now. If anyone tries to preach to you anything which is different from what we have received, expose him or her. Okay? Let the church know about it. This is one of the ways to prevent what? Prevent the infiltration of heresies into the church. You know, one of the tricks of Satan is that, oh, just listen, keep it in your heart, you'll be fine. Pray about it, God will guide you.
By the time you realize it, you are completely deceived. Too late already. Right? Please, if anyone tries to preach to you something different, expose it. Don't worry. Speak to a preacher. Or speak to a deacon, speak to your board members or whatever. Okay, we come back. 1 John. We look at chapter 19, yeah? Now, look at the yes, thank you. Very good. You're paying attention. Okay, verse 19. Now, here John said, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. Okay, now John was very courageous, yeah, to draw a line of distinction, or a line of what? Demarcation, yeah? Between those who belongs to God and those who belongs to the Antichrist. Physically, these people may still be in the church, but in the spirit, they have already gone out from the community of faith. Yeah, that's why John said they went out from us already. Why? Because they could not accept the fact that Christ has come in the flesh. This is the truth that the apostle has seen with his own eyes, and this is the truth that the apostle has been preached to by Jesus Christ. And they themselves had witnessed the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And not only that, the resurrection of Jesus was confirmed by the coming of the Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Right? And these people came around and trying to tell, you know, the church, no, Jesus had not come in the flesh. You understand what I'm saying? Okay? Now, he was very courageous to expose what? The Antichrist. Now, I want to look at verse 20 and verse 21. But you have an anointing from the Holy Spirit, and you know all things. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lies is of the truth. Now, every one of the recipient in those days who had believed in Jesus knew about Jesus had come in the flesh. They had been taught from the very beginning. John was saying to them, right? You have been taught by the anointing. Is this the anointing, the Spirit Himself who had taught you? Now, today, if you have received the basic belief of the church, the truth of salvation, or the truth concerning the one God and the Almighty Lord God Himself, now, even though you have been taught, we know that it's from the Holy Spirit. It's the anointing who has taught you. Yeah? You get what I'm saying? So that's why if you or any one of us here for this matter, yeah, has lost this belief, it means what? It means that this person is no longer of us. He has gone out from us. Physically he may be present in the church, but he is not of us. Okay? All right, now I want to read on verse 22 and 23. We have read verse 22 already. Now verse 23. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. All right. Jesus came in the flesh, meaning he was just like us when he was in the flesh. Right? Now, if his flesh is not the same as us, then you find that, you know, whatever he has done, you know, does not really have any influence on us because the flesh is different. You get what I'm saying? Okay? Because the Bible says he is a man. A man, I mean, like a human being. Yeah? You know, if he's pricked by a needle, he can feel the pain. You know, understand what I'm saying? And if he has not been eating for a few days, he will feel hungry. Okay, he's a man. That's what he needs to eat. Yeah, when he was on earth. Okay, you cannot say that his flesh is different. You understand what I'm saying? Is that clear? Alright? Okay, now. Let's look at verse 24. Now, therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. Now, what you have heard from the beginning. Class, right? Okay, now, first points to remember, yeah? Points to take note of. Number one, the truth of God does not change. Right? Number two, you can simplify it, yeah? Okay, I assume that your English is better than mine. I don't think so. Okay. Now, what we have received from the beginning is the truth of God, because the church is given the Holy Spirit in the first place. You understand what I'm saying? What? Now, number three. Now, you find that the doctrine that the church teaches are in conformity to those of the apostles. You get what I'm saying? Alright? Now, anything which is outside the spectrum or outside the sphere of the apostolic teaching or the paradigm of the apostolic teaching, you must not believe. Is that clear? Right? That's the principle to follow. These are the principles. All right, let's pray.